This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 359.5, down 3. December corn, 367.5, down 4 and 3 quarters. March corn, 380.5, down 5. September soybeans, 1119 and 3 quarters, down 0.5. November soybeans, 1038, down 14 and 3 quarters. January soybeans, 1045 and 3 quarters, down 14 and 3 quarters. September wheat, 539.5, down 6.5. December wheat, 550, down 8.5. March wheat, 568 and 3 quarters, down 8.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. First of all, the Illinois country grain prices, they ended mixed on Wednesday afternoon. Corn was suffering from the big crop syndrome, while wheat followed corn lower, and demand for cash soybeans is propping up soybean values. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 3 cents lower at 349 to 372, while soybean bids ended mixed at 1108 to 1268. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 1 to 3 lower at 348 to 378, and soybeans again mixed at 1198 to 1303. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at 355 to 367. Soybean bids also mixed in southern Illinois, ranging from 1148 to 1223, and the wheat bids down 6 cents at 446 to $5 even. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids 5 to 15 cents lower on Wednesday, ranging from 1268 to 1382. Basis ended steady to 10 cents stronger, ranged from 230 to 290 over November. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $4.91.60 to $5.17.60. That was up $12.80 to $27.80 per ton, with basis up $10 to $25 a ton, ranging from $89 to $115 over September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended mixed at $3.88 to $4 even, with basis steady to 11 cents higher at $28 to $40 over September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids steady to a penny lower at 380 to 388, with basis 2 to 3 cents stronger, range from 20 to 28 over September. Soybean bids ended mixed at 1068 to 1278, with basis mixed range from 30 to 240 over November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 to 3 lower at 381 to 395. These same elevators place their soybean prices mixed with a range of 1178 to 1248. Soft red winter wheat down 6 to 7 cents at 492 to 494, and the Milo 5 cents lower at 368 to 418. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 329 up to 338. Soybeans new crop 988 to 1032. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 327 to 343. New crop soybean bids at 992 to 1018. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 333 to 348, with the new crop soybean bids ranging from 1005 up to 1025. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, $149.25, down $1.25. October live cattle, $145.45, down $1.77. December live cattle, $148.45, down $2. August feeder cattle, $214.95, down $2.20. September feeder cattle, $211.25, down $3. October feeder cattle, $210.37, down $3. October lean hogs, $92.55, down $2.22. December lean hogs, $86.40, down $2.22. February lean hogs, $85.40, down $1.85. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture, bringing you Wednesday, the 20th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $2.26 lower in the range of $90 to $100, with a weighted average carcass price of $97.13. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $1 to $3 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 70 to 75, 4 to 5 weight 74 to 78, 5 to 6 weight 77 to 81, and 6 weights and up 80 to 82. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading mostly steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $68 to $72. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 13,142 head. And now for the report from the Fairview Sale Barn. They had receipts of 252 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 144.75 to 158.25. Select and choice steers 151.50 to 153.75. And select steers were 147.25 to 154.75. Choice slaughter heifers 155 to 157.25, and select and choice heifers 151.75 to 154. On to the slaughter cows, premiums were bringing 115 with the high dressing 117 to 122.25. Breakers were 112 to 117.25. with the high dressing at 118 to 126.75. Boners were 105.25 to 111.75, and leans were 90 to 97. Now on to the United Producers Sale Barn at Shelbyville. They had receipts of 612 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 152 to 155, and some high dressing 155 to 160. Select and choice steers were 148 to 155. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 145 to 153.75, and select and choice Holstein steers 138.75 to 143.50. Choice slaughter heifers 155 to 159.75. Select and choice 150 to 154.50. Now for the opening report at Greenville, they had receipts of 516 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 153 to 162, select and choice 146 to 151. Choice slaughter heifers 153 to 158.50, and select and choice 145 to 151. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 150 to 154.25, and on a dress basis 240 to 243. Heifers on a live basis traded at 152 to 154, and on a dress basis 240 to 242. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 439 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 107.25, and that was 241 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were 251.55, that was $1.36 lower, with select carcasses at 243.07, that was 84 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 113,000. That compared to 115,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 401,000. That compared to 408,000 last week and 430,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Thursday morning by Farm Credit Illinois. It's 6:20 from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
Every producer knows that during harvest, time is money. To better serve our producer customers, M&M Service Company is upgrading several of our strategically located grain elevators to facilitate faster truck unloading. We have multiple locations, giving you the flexibility to haul to the closest M&M Service location. Call M&M Service Company at 217-854-2099 or toll free at 855-769-5117 or visit our website at mmservice.com for all your grain marketing needs.
The National Weather Service has posted a heat advisory. It is in effect until Sunday evening at 7 for today. Sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 90s with light southwest winds. Clear skies tonight, low temperatures in the low 70s for tomorrow, Friday. Partly cloudy skies, highs in the low 90s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, mostly clear skies, low temperatures in the low 70s, high temperatures in the mid-90s. Right now at the Weather Center, light south winds, the barometric pressure is steady, partly cloudy skies, 72 degrees on this Thursday morning. Over the past 24 hours, WSMI Weather Watcher, the Lang family of Coffeen, a half inch of rain, 9/10 of an inch recorded by Rich Henry of Staunton, just a 10th of an inch in the gauge here at the Weather Center. Once again, 72 degrees on this Thursday morning, and it's time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the CHS Service Center of Louder and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. And we'll rejoin WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh next.
Seavers JCB sells a complete line of construction equipment. Seavers JCB, a division of Seavers Equipment Company, sells the full line of JCB construction equipment. JCB is the third largest maker of construction equipment in the world. Backhoes, track hoes, telehandlers, wheel loaders, forklifts, compaction equipment, and the new generation side entry skid steers, the world's safest skid steer. JCB also offers ag equipment. Contact Seavers JCB in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, or Auburn, or go to SeaversJCB.com. And in Missouri, go to JCB of St. Louis at JCB of ST.
America's farmers do more than feed America. They feed the world. Here's what customers say about how their CHS service centers help them grow their operations.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
They're offering some different solutions to help you become a better farmer and rancher.
Recently, they found storage for us so that we could purchase more fertilizer in the off-season.
CHS Service Center in Louder, 217-435-9023.
Statistical research done at the University of Illinois puts into view some interesting conclusions about the United States Department of Agriculture's crop production reports. Todd Gleason files this story on how it's possible to see a big corn crop getting bigger when you look backwards through the data, but are not capable of predicting that when looking forward into the same set of numbers from the month of August.
Researchers at Illinois wanted to know if the collective wisdom of those who buy and sell corn was, well, truly wise. Specifically, the adage that a big corn crop gets bigger, or on the flip side, that a small one gets smaller. So University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin and company delved into the USDA numbers and came to very contrasting conclusions.
The first is, if you're standing on January, looking back on the day that the final USDA estimate is released, you can indeed see that crops that turned out to be very large did grow in terms of the yield estimates from August through January. So that makes it seem like, yes, indeed, big crops get bigger. And also on the other side, small crops get smaller. But the interesting thing is that's actually a form of hindsight bias, because you're taking advantage of the fact that you already know the final crop size when you're looking backwards.
However, if you take exactly the same set of numbers and look forward from August and try to predict a big crop getting bigger or a small one getting smaller, it doesn't work, says Irwin.
And that answer statistically is an unequivocal no.
It seems a pretty strange conclusion.
When you get the August USDA yield, in statistical terms, we would say it's unbiased. It's likely to change going forward, but you really can't predict which direction and by how much. That's what we mean by unbiased. So your best assumption standing today is, on average, that's the best yield estimate that you can come up with, unless you really have a better model or a better system that you can prove with real-time or historical evidence is better than the USDA.
In the month of August, then, Scott Irwin says the USDA crop production figure for corn should be simply considered the best available and correct, period. Interestingly, however, the same research shows the direction of the national average yield change from August to September does signal the likely direction of future changes in USDA forecast. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
As interest in cover crops grows, researchers are devoting more and more time trying to figure out how to best utilize them. Robert Bellum, crop systems educator with the University of Illinois Extension, currently has a 5-year cover crop study underway.
Yes, what we're talking about today, we've got a 5-year research trial that's actually funded by the Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Council, looking at the effect of cover crops on long-term soil characteristics such as bulk density, organic matter, nitrate movement down through the soil profile. And so we're just presenting some of the preliminary data today on the results of that trial. We're looking at several different individual cover crop species on a corn and soybean rotation over a long-term 5-year trial here.
And you really picked a fun 5 years to do this in. It seems like we've had a whole bunch of different weather concerns.
Well, one thing we have found is that it is a challenge to establish cover crops. In order for these cover crops to establish and get any growth in the fall, they typically have to be seeded sometime from maybe early September in the northern part of the state to as late as maybe October 1 in the very southern tip of the state. And, you know, that's when your corn and soybean are growing in the fields. So these cover crops have to be broadcast into a standing crop. And if you don't get adequate rainfall at the time that is aerially seeded, then establishment becomes problematic.
And you spend all this effort into establishing it, and then later, when it's time to plant your crop, you need to figure out how to kill it.
That is very true. One thing we do tell growers that are trying this for the first time, before you ever put the cover crop seed in the ground, is you better have a plan to get it killed in the spring, because you definitely don't want the cover crop to depress your cash crop yield later on. So, you know, if you planning the termination of the cover crop, having the equipment to do that, and getting it done, you know, no matter what the weather conditions, is very critical.
And you also need to be careful in terms of planning what cover crops you use preceding what crops you're growing that year. If you have a rotational corn soybean system, and if you have wheat thrown in there too, that also complicates things further.
That's true. And, you know, some of these cover crops can potentially, you know, become weedy in some crops. You know, and so it looking at your crop rotation, there's probably, if you're looking at corn and soybean rotation, you have less restrictions. If you're going to have wheat in your rotation, there are some cover crops such as annual ryegrass or possibly hairy vetch that you know, can potentially become weedy in wheat, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend those being used primarily in southern Illinois, where most of the wheat is grown. You know, some cover crops do seem to do better in front of corn, some tend to do better in front of soybeans. So, you know, take home message is to study up, plan ahead of time, start out small, become familiar with it. And as you gain familiarity, then go ahead and see how it works out and maybe increase the acreage.
And it sounds like, you know, depending on your management system, cover crops can be an excellent system to use. But an emphasis on more research, I think, is primarily what we're seeing right now.
Well, that's sort of the standard statement that all university researchers do, you know, make. We need to do more research. And I think that's true, because we need to, you know, number one, establish what the costs are to implement these practices. What effect does it have on yield? You know, whether or not you get soil improvements or not, it still has to be economically profitable in order to initiate these types of practices. So, you know, we need to continue to do the research and look at that.
And for farmers who are wanting to establish cover crops but are looking at the economics of that, they could perhaps get funding from county NRCSs. Is that right?
Well, in the past, there has been some local cost share money available through NRCS, but again, that's sort of available on a county-by-county basis and changes from year to year. So anyone interested in initiating cover crops for the first time may want to visit with their local NRCS office to see what may or may not be available. If nothing else, the local office may have drills and whatnot available for guys that wouldn't have equipment maybe to plant a cover crop after the full season crop has been harvested.
Again, that was crop systems educator with the University of Illinois Extension, Robert Bellum. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.